This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
This is Betting Weekly Premier League Show. You're with myself, Dan Roebuck, alongside me, Nigel Seeley and Jack Cry. Only four matches this weekend as other top flight teams are in action in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup. Massive week for Arsenal over the course of both midweek and, of course, the Premier League last weekend. They will be top of the table after the international break. They are plus 250 to win the title for the first time since 2003-04. They are clear only on goal difference from Liverpool, plus 225 in Manchester City. Still favourites, but now plus money at plus 120. Nigel, out from minus money. They were minus 110 ahead of that big game against Liverpool last weekend, which you correctly predicted. Liverpool stay the same. Arsenal, of course, have come in a little bit. This time last year, Arsenal were 8 points clear and stumbled and were beaten to the title by Manchester City. Are they better equipped this time around, do you think?
Good morning, guys. Yeah, of course they're better equipped. They've brought in Declan Rice. They've brought in some quality players who've seen it and won it before. Jorginho, obviously, as well. He's an experienced player. I just think that the distraction of the Champions League is going to be a distraction for them, obviously, going to the quarterfinals. We know whoever they're going to get in the draw tomorrow. It's going to be a tough match. I mean, there's no last eight. It's probably one of the toughest last eights I've ever seen in the Champions League. There's no weak side in it at all, really. So that's a distraction for them. They're playing well. They're scoring goals. The Emirates, as you've been commentating there for many years now, probably it's probably the most electric. It's
best atmosphere, I think, ever. Yeah, I think you're right.
So you've got huge support behind them as well. But, you know, they have probably got, I would say, the smallest squad, the key players. If there's any kind of crucial injury to a couple of players, they've been in trouble. Saliba was the big blow last year, wasn't it? When he was out, they didn't perform. So it's all looking good for Arsenal. But for what it's worth, I have a very, very sort of small simulation program thing here that I run, i.e. pen and paper. Who's going to read?
But have you gone through the fixtures and totted up points and that sort of thing?
No, I've got my little spreadsheet that does all that. But Man City win the league by 1 point, apparently, on this, and from Liverpool, and Arsenal actually fall a little bit further back. So interesting to see. But there are some big games coming up. Man City's next two matches are crucial, aren't they? They've got, obviously, Man City-Arsenal, which is the big match. If Arsenal can win that, then everything changes. So they're looking good, but for me, they're still the outsiders of the three.
Yeah, and that's reflected in the prices. Jack, Nigel referred to the Champions League. Is that a hindrance or a help for Arsenal? I mean, they look shattered after the game against Porto. They won on penalties in midweek, and they'll be grateful that they're not playing this weekend. It was meant to be Chelsea, of course, but rescheduled because of Chelsea's involvement in the FA Cup. I mean, can it help them? What are your thoughts on Arsenal's title chances?
No, it can only hinder them on that respect due to the not only the physical but the mental side of it as well. We saw what it meant when it goes to those penalty shootouts. Of course, they want to win every game they're in. So the one positive side of it is it does keep that momentum flying. But it meant so much to them. You saw the celebrations at the end as a result of that. So it is going to take it out of them, and they haven't quite got the squad that the likes of a Manchester City can rotate when it needs to be done. And I think it's they obviously don't want to go out of it, but it's not going to help them as far as the Premier League is concerned.
Nigel, you mentioned that next game for Arsenal away at Manchester City. BetRivers got prices up already, incidentally, for the game.
I haven't seen them. See if I can guess them.
Well, go on then.
Man City, minus one.
City at home.
110, 120.
113, close, Arsenal. Very close,
probably
same, really.
Plus 450.
Plus 300 and the draw plus
just
280.
Yeah. Blimey.
Those are the prices. Oh. So minus money. I mean, would you expect money for City, money for Arsenal between now and kickoff? Do you think that price will be left alone until a few days before, or will be some shrewdies trying to get a bit of value at some stage?
You've got to see how the players come back from the international break, haven't you, really? I mean, you can't have a bet now without seeing if there's any injuries to any key players. Who plays for England matches? England have got two friendlies, but they're big friendlies, Brazil and Belgium, so they're going to probably go strong. You know, you don't want anybody to come back in the international break with any injuries, especially some of the South American players. It's going to be you wouldn't even think about betting on that until you saw who came back in good shape from that international break.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see the market moves ahead of that huge game at the Etihad last day of this month. Next fixtures coming up this month, just the four as we've trailed already this weekend in the Premier League. But we've got picks in three of the four. We're going to tackle all four for you anyway. First up, 11 a.m. Saturday, Burnley versus Brentford. Burnley plus 220 here. Brentford plus 120. Draw plus 265. Burnley, Jack, looks set for just a fourth win of the league in the season at the weekend, but succumbed very late on to West Ham. Things never seem to go right for Vincent Kompany's side. What's your take on this game and what's your play?
Yeah, it's a sign of a side that's doomed, isn't it, really? We saw Sheffield United do the same thing. We saw Luton do the same thing last night as well. And Burnley have been doing that all season, give too many chances away, which is the element of what I'm going for here. I expect them to give up chances to Brentford. And if there's going to be a player to sniff one of those or two of those out, it's going to be Ivan Toney. So I'm backing him to score at any time, plus 102. Massive game for Burnley, of course. 10 points adrift. They're running out of time. We've said they've been doomed for ages, but because sides can't seem to win any games, they still are mathematically in with a chance. But Brentford, of course, have got to win this one as well. Only 5 points clear at the drop zone. So they cannot afford to lose here and get sucked further into that battle. I think stylistically, this is a match that suits Brentford. Burnley will come onto them. That's what they've been trying to do all season. And that's been part of their downfall, is that they've not really changed their game plan. They'll be attacking. They'll leave chances. Brentford like to play on the counter-attack. They've obviously got Toney back, who is a massive element of the way they play. He's not been massively impressive over the last few games. He obviously came back with a bang after that eight-month ban, scored 4 goals in his first 5 games, and he's not scored in his last 4. But when you look at the fixtures that they've had over that period of time, they've been tricky. A couple against Manchester City, Spurs in there as well, the likes of Chelsea, West Ham even, are tough to break down at times. And Arsenal last week, we saw one of the strongest defences, the strongest defence in the league. But one thing that game highlighted is the fact that he is not short of confidence. Anyone who saw it, an absolutely stunning strike. Could have been goal of the season if that had gone in. Great save from Ramsdale, in fairness, after redemption from that mistake he made earlier. Dropping down first time, had no hesitation, did he? Strike, perfect connection, flying to the top corner, 35 yards, but it's a great save. So the confidence is there. And I say, I think he will get plenty of chances in this particular game against Burnley side. They've only kept 1 clean sheet at home this season. They've conceded the second highest amount of goals, only behind Sheffield United at home and overall. They've only kept 2 clean sheets across the whole campaign. And I say they are weak as far as you'd expect a side that has struggled all season, conceding shots in the box, shots on target. But the one area that kind of does catch your eye is the fact that they are poor defending aerial attempts, worst in the league for that, and also some set pieces. Brentford can absolutely make the most of that. That's where one of their strong points. So the other thing is they have conceded the joint third highest amount of penalties this season. Tony's on those, of course, and he's pretty prolific from that area. And I think at plus money, I'm happy to take him to get back on the score sheet.
What do you make, Nigel, of Ivan Toney's return? I'm not 100% certain or less certain that he might join a big club for next campaign. There was mentions of Arsenal and Chelsea. He's plus 160. I've seen him places to join Arsenal, which seems incredibly short. And I've seen him around about plus 120 to make the England squad. I think his star has dimmed a little bit since coming back. I mean, Jack has drawn out the stats there. He's been playing against good teams, and that's a fair point. But I wouldn't say he was just over even money to make the plane for the European Championships. How do you see it?
Well, we're going to have to take 3 strikers, aren't we? England will take 3 strikers. So Kane is on the plane, obviously, if he's fit. Ollie Watkins is on the plane. And then you're playing for one place, and it's between Solanke and Toney. And he would get the nod over them, wouldn't he? Calvert-Lewin is absolutely... I've got more chance of getting on the plane than Calvert-Lewin. So, I mean, there's a lot of players that have fallen away. So I think I think he will go. I think he will go, but I wouldn't bet him at plus 120. And also, by all accounts, he's not the most charming of men, is he? You know, there's a lot of people who have got sort of a lot of opinions about Toney.
Sorry, Morrissey. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, but a lot of people have said that he's got a bit of an ego about him, and a lot of people inside Arsenal have said that there's no way he's going to be joining Arsenal because he just won't fit into the dressing room. But with a bigger ego and a bit of a G up for himself, Chelsea looked a perfect place to go, didn't it? I mean, that's the dressing room you want to be in. So if I had to choose where he might ruck up with a team that need a striker, Chelsea would probably be that. And he wouldn't have to change house, would he? He's only 5 minutes down the road from where he is in Brentford. So, yeah, I don't think he'd be an Arsenal player. I think he will go to the playing for England. If you see a big betting move for him to go, then you know what's happening. But I would say yes. I'd say definitely get on him to go to England. But I think Chelsea would be the bet.
Yeah, interesting. 5-1 or thereabouts, Chelsea, for his next destination. And for Jack, just to score this weekend, plus money. It's a fair bet against Burnley, as Jack has pointed out. Let's get to Fulham Tottenham next, which is 1:30 Saturday. Fulham plus 240, Spurs plus 108 here. London Derby at the Cottage. Spurs now minus 167 to finish in the top four, Nigel, after their win at Villa. Ange Ball working at Villa Park last weekend, and you are tipping them to follow up that success with another here.
Yeah, well, I got it completely wrong last week, didn't I? I went with Aston Villa. I thought the home form for Aston Villa, which was great the early part of the season, would come on to Aston Villa in a minute, but I thought that might see them through a packed Villa Park, might get them over the line, but it wasn't to be. Tottenham were absolutely brilliant. I mean, that was Postecoglou's best performance, I think, as a manager in Tottenham. And he had some good performances at the start of the season, but I thought last week they were brilliant. Back-to-back wins for the first time this year. You know, looking good. 3-1 win against Palace. Didn't play well in that match, but left it late. Scored 3 goals late on. Scoring goals again for fun. They scored at least 2 goals in 5 of their last 6 matches. And that's mainly to the due with the return of Maddison. I think, obviously, he's a key player for this side. Son, obviously, back as well. And I think I expect a good end of season from Tottenham. They've got something to play for. They've got something to chase. You know, and I think Tottenham are better to come running. I wouldn't trust Tottenham if they're holding on to fourth place, but I like the idea of them coming strong because I think they're a great team to watch and they've got so much flair about them, garbage goals, play with no fear. But I think if they were holding on to a lead and trying to play negative, I think that's where their downfall is. So when they're coming on to do so, I think it's great. Fulham, for me, very inconsistent. Obviously, you know, they have some great wins and they have some really poor losses. I think the manager's great. I think they've got some great young talent, but there is this sort of thing that when it comes towards the end of the season, you know, I've said it numerous times on this show and not really so much profit really has to be said, but there is this kind of a team that suddenly just sort of ease up a little bit, and Fulham may be that sort of side. I expect a couple of little matches where they may have a little bit of a blip, and against the Tottenham side, who they have the worst record against anybody in the Premier League, actually. Tottenham against Fulham. Fulham have an absolutely dreadful record against them. Last 11 matches, it's been 9 wins for Tottenham and 2 draws. And you at home at Fulham at this fixture, they haven't won this fixture since they returned in the Premier League in 2008. So, you know, it's been a lot of matches where Tottenham have got the better of them. I've been to see Tottenham Fulham a couple of times back in the day when Martin Yeol was manager, and it was one of the best games I've ever seen. It was a 2-2 draw. Dimitar Berbatov was exceptional that day. But this match always produces a good game of football, you know. There's always Fulham and Tottenham are down. It's a good, the weather conditions is nice and sunny. It could be a good spring afternoon. I think this will be a good game. I do expect goals in the match, but I do think Tottenham here with something to play for against a side who've got nothing to play for essentially for the rest of the season at plus 105 with Maddison coming back, pulling the strings. I like Tottenham here at odds against. I really do think that win against Villa really, really galvanised Tottenham. And I think they'll get them going. And I expect a good last part of the season from Tottenham. And I think a plus 105 is one of the only times you'll probably get plus money for them in these kind of fixtures. Because if this was the last day of the season and Tottenham needed to win this to go finish fourth and Fulham had nothing to play for, Tottenham would be probably minus 250. And I'm not exaggerating. That's probably the price they would be. So I think this could be the last time you'll get that. And the last time Fulham did win was in 2008. And what was number one in the UK in 2008?
I don't know.
Greatest Day by Take That. And this could be a great, great day if you take the plus 105 on Tottenham.
That's one of the worst segues of the season.
There's a lot of worse ones than that. There's a lot worse ones than that.
Nigel has suggested there's going to be goals, which leads us to Jack's bet. Jack.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that Tottenham will edge it. I think there'll be goals in it. I think probably both teams will score, which would suggest, will mean there'll be at least 3 goals. So my bet is over 3 goal line. I've used it a few times this season. It's cashed on those most occasions. And we get it at minus 118 here, which I think is a nice price. Pretty much for the same reasons that Nigel's gone with the Tottenham win there. I think Fulham are one of those couple of sides that are now kind of cruising towards the end of the season. The handbrake's off a little bit. They enjoy playing at home. So I said there's nothing to lose for them. But really nothing to gain. They aren't going to kind of gate crash into those European places. And up against the Tottenham side here with all to play for, and have now got their strong talent back. Son's obviously back from the international duty. Maddison is a player that we've loved. We've talked about a lot. Obviously back now and back fit and pulling the strings, as we've said. And Kulusevski also, you've got Brennan Johnson who's finding his feet out on that left-hand side. And they've also got Timo Werner who's scored a couple of important goals for them, either off the bench or starting. And that, I think, for me is a key element here, is that if it isn't quite going for Tottenham, or they just want to freshen things up, they've got some real electric pace and talent to call off the bench to go and accelerate. And we saw it last week where they accelerated past Villa in the closing stages as well. So goals really across all these, both these sides' games in recent weeks as well. All of Fulham's last six have seen over 2.5 goals, which of course would guarantee we get at least a refund on this one. All of Spurs' last 10 have seen over 2.5 goals, and 7 have seen over 3.5, which is the number we're looking here for a win. So I think the element as far as Spurs are concerned that would only concern me, or the reason I think they'll concede but go on to win, is that Mickey van de Ven is likely to be out, key element of their defensive unit. So I think that could be an issue, but they've got loads and loads of firepower against a Fulham side that will concede chances and concede goals, I think. So Spurs, second highest as far as goals scored away from home are concerned. 3.85 their average across the whole season away from home, their game. So well over what we need here as far as the win is concerned. 17 of the last 18 have cashed for over 2.5 goals backers, and 10 have seen over 3.5. And 8 of the 13 away games as well. So 5 of the last 6, it all points towards plenty of goals. Fulham's record isn't too bad either. And say Fulham's last 9 at home, 7 have seen over 2.5 goals, 4 have seen over 3.5 goals, an average of 3.33. So I see the game panning out exactly how Nigel explained it. And there's some stats to suggest why we should see 4 or more goals in it.
Yeah, over 3.
Just before we go
on the Asian line, go on, Nigel.
I do like the goals in this match, but like I think that this fixture list here has got a potential banana screen with the goals. I think if you look at every single match this week, I do like the goals in the Fulham match, but I think if every single match, these four matches, you look and you think there's got to be goals, and the lines are just so low. I mean, both teams are scoring that Fulham match is -$2. Both teams are scoring the West Ham game we're going to come on to is -$2. Luton game is -$2. You know, it's not going to, one of them is going to let you down. You know, even the Burnley match, you know, very heavy favourite weighted in goals. Years gone by, when you looked at these kind of matches, not necessarily the Fulham Tottenham one because there's nothing to play for, but the Luton Forest game would be a real banker under 2.5 goals. The Burnley Brentford game would be a banker under 2.5 goals because both sides are fighting for their life and going to get in a relegation battle. Not this season, but I just got a feeling that everything just points. Sometimes in betting, when you look at things and think it just screams goals, it doesn't necessarily work out that way. And I look at these matches here and I think there's a potential banana skin here in one of these fixtures. I'm not quite sure. Burnley Brentford potentially could be. I mean, that might be an under one, but I just look at these odds and I think -$2, both teams have scored. Total goal lines at like 3.5. Just something. I just feel, I've got this feeling that one of these isn't going to go to the script.
I think the problem is, you know, you can look at the stats, but the market's completely caught up. So you look at the odds and you just think, well, these are way too, you know, if I want to back, you know, over 2.5, it's way too short. And your eyes just move to something else. And you think, what about the 3.5 line? And then you think, well, that's quite a jump up in terms of the prices. I think it's very, very difficult just to go blanket because the odds will snook you and one will always let you down, as you say. I mean, the lines are over and under 3.5 for an awful lot of goals pretty much week in, week out on the Premier League.
Are we getting to the business end of the season now as well, where suddenly like, things...
Oh, I mean, are we expecting some... I mean, we've been saying this all season long.
Well, that's the thing.
When is this regression going to happen? When is it that, you know, this ridiculous Premier League average of whatever it is it 3.3 goals per game? I mean, it's just a generational high. And all the markets have been lifted up with it over the course of the season. All the prices are the same. And if you've got, you know, if you feel it's going to go the other way, you can make some money from now on in. But, you know, you can look foolish as well, can't you?
Well, over the last history of the last 20-odd years since the Premier League games, when you get to this season and teams are playing in relegation battles, they're usually extremely close affairs in the first half in particular. In the second half, they open up. So, like, you know, if you said to me 10 years ago, the teams that are fighting in third from bottom and the fourth from bottom in the Premier League with 8 games to go, you can bet under 3.5 goals, The goal line is 3.5 goals. I'll be what? Are you serious? You know, you'd be betting under 1.5 goal in these matches. So, you know, I agree with you. It could be that those days are completely gone, but you'll find out a lot more. I mean, I'm too scared to get involved, but I've just got a feeling in looking at these at the moment. I just think that one of these will not be the goal fest that we're expecting. I think Fulham Tottenham will be because, you know, like I said, Fulham got nothing to play for, freedom, I get that. But what some of these other ones, I'm not buying this 3.5 goal line in such huge matches at the bottom of the table.
Let's get to some Sunday games, or one Sunday game, and we're going to come back to a Saturday game. But we've got plays in the Sunday 10 a.m. game, West Ham against Aston Villa. West Ham +165, Villa now +150. There's been money for West Ham. I can't work out why. There's a bit of a fade of Villa in the market. Both teams, of course, in action ahead of us recording here. But of course, Nigel, you've pointed out already, Villa off the back of that hugely disappointing defeat by Spurs. I mean, they're +125 now to finish in the top four. They've been flip-flopping from minus money to plus money all season long. But Villa need to bounce back whatever happens in their game against Ajax tonight.
Yeah, I've said it. Another one of my strategies over the years is when teams have such an embarrassing defeat or a heavy defeat, I like to get with them the following week. I usually like to get with the unders if a team get beat quite convincingly or a team loses like this. And I want to get with Villa at +150. I wanted to play them at +138 and now +150, which is helping me. So I think the bounce back factor is there for Villa. Again, we talk about incentives. Villa have got everything to play for compared to West Ham, who literally haven't got much to play for. Both of them are playing in European Cup competition tonight. Villa obviously at home to Ajax, time of this recording on Thursday. And West Ham play Freiburg in the Europa League. Now, that Europa League game, we don't know the result of that, but I think regardless of the result, I think it will help our bet here for Villa, because I think if West Ham get beat, they'll be very, very disappointed because, you know, they want to do well in the competition after winning the Conference League last season. And if they do win the match, I think they prioritise the Europa League ahead of their league form. So I think regardless of the match here, we're filming this without knowing the result. I think if they lose, or they win, and even if they get a draw, and or they win 1-0 when it goes to extra time and penalties, that helps us even more. So I think it's a good factor for now. I'm really surprised by the 150. Obviously, if you look at last season, David Moyes threw everything at the Conference League, and in April they didn't win a match. I think they lost by 4 of their matches in the Premier. I know it was a difficult fixture list for them. I think they played Manchester City, Liverpool, Man United, and some other side, but they lost every single one. So they publicly said West Ham they wanted to win the European Cup competition, have the European form. So if they get to the quarterfinals of Europa League, you can see them doing pretty much the same. They're safe in the Premier League. They're not going to get European football by their league position. They're not going to get down. So they fit into that category, but they are in a European Cup quarterfinal potentially, and they might throw everything on them. So for that reason, I like Villa here. The other thing is, you know, we spoke about this show all the way through season about how brilliant Villa have been at home and they're not so good on the road. That is what the common consensus was of Aston Villa this season. At Villa Park, they blow people away, they score loads of goals, they're brilliant at home. Well, in 2024, it's completely gone the other way. If you look at their road form in 2024, Aston Villa have won 4, drawn 3, lost none. And at home, they played 5, won one, lost 4. So they're better on the road in 2024 than they were at home at the start of the season. A couple of reasons why. I think a lot of teams have sort of sussed them out at home. They come out fast to play, know they're going to be in for a high tempo match at the beginning and have sorted that out. But the other thing that surprised me as well is the 3 draws that Aston Villa have had on the road this season have all been 0-0. And, you know, we talk about unders here. This is a 3.5 goal line. 3.5 goal line. I don't understand why Aston Villa, West Ham, Aston Villa after a European week is a 3.5 goal line. I get why some of these games are so high, but Villa, Aston Villa, I don't get it. I was very tempted to go under 3 goals in this match, which I wouldn't put anybody off, but I think Villa have got all the incentive. I think West Ham, the reasons I said about Europa League, if they lose or they win, I think there's going to be they're going to be suffering for going into this match. And I think Villa bounce back. The bounce back factor is for Villa here. And I like Villa at a massive 150. I think 150 is a big price. So I like Villa. They're the kings on the road now. They were the kings at Villa Park, but they're the kings on the road. And I think they'll get the win here. And I think it's quite low. This could be low scoring. I think 3.5 is wrong here.
Yeah, a lot of the wild scorelines that Villa have been involved in have not been after European games, where the goal count has been a little bit low. That could be an angle in. We've got a different angle for Jack, though. We're back to the goal scorers, Jack.
Yeah, I'm going with the main man for Villarreal. I can't pick anyone else. Ollie Watkins, plus 130, I think is a nice price against the side. He's got good form against the side. I think he'll get chances against. Stylistically, I think it suits him, and I think he'll cause them plenty of problems. As Nigel said, both play after this recording, before this game takes place in Thursday night European action. So that's pretty much an even field at worst as far as the bet is concerned, both at home. So there's not lots going on there. We looked at the game last week and that Villa performance. It was been put down really to the fact that Unai Emery tinkered with his lineup. So he changed the formation a little bit, I guess, as a bit of a respect to Tottenham, and it backfired. I'd expect him to revert back to type, the tried and tested that's worked so well for him over the course of the season. In this one, John McGinn's out, but I don't think that's going to harm us either, our bets, as far as like the creativity side of things is concerned. He's a good player, but Villa have got lots of good players in the engine room that they can bring in. And say as their forward talent is concerned, we will be fine on that respect as well. So West Ham, no clean sheet in 8 league games now, so they do concede plenty of goals. And as I said, Villa, we know, are a side that can certainly take opportunities on that. Nigel's touched on their decent away form in 2024. Well, they've scored 2 or more goals in 7 of the last 8 away games, which is important for this better course. They've scored 18 across those 8 games in total. So very, very impressive stuff. Obviously picked up some nice wins along the way as well. And we know Watkins is their main man. 16 goals for the season so far is a superb return. Only 2 behind Erling Haaland. Can he do the unthinkable and sneak in and steal that golden boot off him? It's a tough ask, but he's been very, very consistent throughout the whole campaign, which is what I like. Another point to Nigel's bet is that Villa do tend to bounce back well. There's not often they go on a run of poor performances, and Watkins is the same, tends to score. If he has a blank, he's back and scored again. So he scored 2 goals in both his last 2 away games as well. Looks very, very impressive. He scored 7 goals across his last 7 league games also. And he's a player that has been absolutely superb, come up from the English Football League. So Exeter through into Brentford. And now, as we've already talked about, is primed to be the understudy to Harry Kane for the Euros in the summer. And he will look to drive that point home between now and the end of the season. The reverse fixture was 4-1 for Aston Villa. Watkins was on the score sheet in that one. And also last season, this did end in a 1-1 draw. Watkins got the opening goal in that game as well. So scored and opened the scoring. And I'm sure you're now going to tell us what his odds are to be the first goal scorer. I reckon somewhere around about plus 450.
I wasn't looking at that, to be honest. No. I was looking at Watkins to be top goal scorer in the Premier League at 8-1. I mean, if you think he could sneak beyond Haaland. I mean, Haaland might get rested a little bit. I don't know.
I've backed him at 66 at the start.
Yeah.
Each way.
True. Thanks for telling us. I think I did.
I think I put it on the show.
You probably did, yeah.
I think I put it on the show.
He's minus 400 to make the English squad. That was the one that I pulled out as well. I mean, first goal scorer, I'm going to have a look now, aren't I? For this one, talk amongst yourselves here while I try and get the price.
I like him to get the first goal because I don't think there's been many goals in this match. So if they do one or two in it, though, I think the anytime goal score is a great bet as well. You expect goals. So if you come to the conclusion that you think the over 3.5 might cash anytime with me, if you think one or two goals are going to win it or be a close match, then West Ham a Villa to score any time. The field score the first, what can score the first is a bet. I like him. He'd be about 4 goals, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he is. Plus 440. Plus 135 to score at any time, in fact, now. So just a little bit bigger. And minus 200 not to score. We talked about Haaland last week, didn't we, not to score? Mm-hmm. I mean, I want to try and, you know, tell some of the viewers and listeners here. When we did the Liverpool preview last week, you know, Nigel was spot on with his pick. But there's an awful lot of just, you know, we were just chatting about the game. And if people would, you know, Jack, you said draw probably most likely on the money line. We both looked at Haaland not to score. There was some good sort of unofficial leans, if you
one
like.
One all, I think Jack said one all.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, there's. It's not just necessarily the picks. We try to inform and educate.
You said Palace were the bankers of the week.
Yes, I did, and they should have won. I mean,
there's a new t-shirt being printed. We ran out of space on that one.
In every single
metric. Need a longer t-shirt. All the tour dates on the back.
every single metric, they won that game. I didn't get paid out. We like Villa to win. We like Ollie Watkins to score. Of course, those that like the same game parlays can get involved with that. One more game to cover, although we've not got an official play. It's Saturday, 11 a.m. It's Luton against Forest. Luton plus 175, Forest plus 143, the draw plus 270. We did have an official play in this until Luton fell apart. I got the WhatsApp messages from Nigel and Jack at half time in the game of the vitality. And Nigel, you were sweet on Luton, and then suddenly the goals started flying in for Bob, and you said, just hang on a minute. Because
I said it at 3-1. I must admit, I did say it at 3-1.
I think they traded around about 33-40 to 1 in running Bournemouth to win it. I think Luton were about 8 on, what's that, about minus, I don't know what that is in American. But yeah, you know, it's 3-0 up, crikey, they've got to get over the line. They're going to be devoed, Nigel, aren't they, here, Luton?
Well, I mean, I put them in the bet of the draw, no bet. That was my angle, and I still...
I still don't mind it,
but I just think to myself, how demoralised must you be when you're 3-0? Is that the first time in the Premier League history? I saw something come through, like first time in 40 years a team that had been 3-0 down at half-time has ever come back in the top 5-1.
I remember United beat Spurs from 3-0 down, didn't they? Won 5-3 at White Hart Lane.
And they must be demoralised. But the one thing I would say is that they're pretty much season has been that roller coaster ride anyway. So every single match they've been involved in has been end to end, 4-4s, leading 3-1, then peg back to 3-3. So it's not really any other club you would turn around and say they must be demoralised. But this is a Luton team. The whole season has been like that. The manager's got to earn his crust here, though, because this is the biggest match of the season for them. Forget what they've done so far. If they win this match, they've got a chance of staying up. Obviously, we're talking about football matters and what's going on in the courtroom. But Forest here are obviously going to be coming here thinking, God, we're going to concede. If you look at the recent stats for Luton matches, I mean, they're just off the charts. I mean, Luton haven't won in 8, right? And in them 8 matches, they've conceded 28 goals. 28 goals, almost 4 goals a game. Like, that's just, I'm crazy. But the thing that really I find staggering is in those 8 matches, they've scored 15 and haven't won. They're scoring 2 goals a game and haven't won a match. I mean, it's just unbelievable when you look at it. I mean, it's just crazy. Forest, though, drastically out of form. 1 win in 13, haven't won on the road in the EPL this year. We know they were really poor on the road. Lost the last 4. 3 of those last 4 have been 1-0, though. So, you know, this is 2-2 early in the season. This could be another wild game. I mean, it really could. Luton will go out and have to... It's one of them matches, right? And I said earlier, one of these could throw... It's a game that I'm going to bet 4-4 and 5-5, and also bet 0-0. It's one of them matches. It's not going to be 2-0.
It's not going to be 1-0, is it?
It could be absolutely anything. But, I think Forest will come here and just try to get a draw. It might not work, but that would be the tactic. Get a draw. You know, but if you go toe-to-toe with Luton, you're going to concede 3 goals.
it's incredible, all their numbers. Yeah, third time in the Premier League, teams have been down at 3-0 at half time.
Was the other one Villa beat Aston Villa, Man United v Villa?
No, it was Man United against Tottenham at White Hart Lane. United won 5-3. And the other one was Wolves Leicester. I just had a quick look. Where is it now?
I think it might be an FA Cup.
It's
game.
Wolves. Premier League. Wolves Leicester, October 2003.
I remember Aston Villa being 2-3 up, and then Man United brought on Van Nistelrooy and he scored a hat trick.
That was a cup game, I think, wasn't it? Yeah. Let's just get Jack's thoughts on this one. I mean, just relegation in general here. I mean, Luton are minus 200 to go down, Forest plus 225, now Everton plus 550. We don't know what's going to happen with points deductions. Everton, Forest, we just don't know what the situation is and don't know whether it's going to be this season or next season. So there's a lot to factor in. Have you got any sort of angles for Luton, Forest or anything when it comes to the relegation market, Jack?
Yeah, you wonder how much is going on behind the scenes at Forest. It's impacting the players, management, because they have kind of just fallen off a cliff, haven't they, over recent weeks. Obviously, Nuno's moaning about decisions and always going against him, and that's always a bad sign. As far as Luton are concerned, you've got a feel for them. It's like they must be thinking, what have we, you know, the mental state for them is, what have we got to do to be able to win a game? Because we're 1 up, 2 up, 3 up, and they played superb in that first half. Absolutely textbook away performance, and counter-attacked ruthlessly and played so well. And then the second half just completely fell apart. That first goal goes in and it's the fear's there and you can see it. So how did they get that out of their game? I don't really know. But I actually did have a play in this one as well. and I changed my mind, but not quite as late as Nigel's one. But it was going. I was actually going to play the draw in this, and I was going to have half stake on a draw and half stake on 2-2. I just got a feeling of that kind of game. And obviously it did end that way last time. And that was Luton doing the reverse, wasn't it? They were 2-0 down and come back with two late goals. So, yeah, that's how I feel. I feel there's goals in it. I feel it could be a little bit crazy. And, yeah, Nigel's gone a little bit further than that with 4-4, 5-5. But I'd say a high-scoring draw would be a bit of a fun bet to have in this because it could be anything. And don't write anything off regardless of how long in the game it goes.
If you're an in-play bettor, I think these are great games because you can you know, there's wild swings in the odds. I'm just looking at the BetRivers site. I've clicked on 4-4 correct score. It's plus 14,000, which is 140-1. I've tried to click on 5-5. It won't let me. Well, I don't know. You know.
They don't want you to bock it for me.
5-5.
They don't want you to bock it for me. That's under my instructions. Can't get five. You're not allowed
can't
to click anything I'm betting.
Can't get 5-5.
Block Robot whenever he's clicking anything that I'm fancy.
This should be a wild game. Tread with caution to a certain extent, but as Nigel and Jack says, you can have a bit of fun with correct scores. You can go a little bit wild on this one. Q 0-0, as Nigel says. Saver on 0-0. Saver on under 1.5. It is FA Cup quarterfinal weekend. This is the Premier League show, but obviously we'll just have a quick chat about the outrights and the games. I mean, City are plus 140 here, Nigel. Liverpool plus 300. These are the outright prices, the futures prices. Chelsea 6-1, Manchester United 8-10-1, bar those. I mean, I know you're on Wolves at a big price. You tip those up right at the start of January. They're 12-1 now. I mean, they've got a very winnable tie against Coventry, isn't it? They're playing. I mean, you're going to have one. You're going to have a team in the semis, Nigel. I would have thought here.
Yeah, but then you've got potentially Man City, Chelsea, Man United or Liverpool, like, you know, waiting for you. So it's going to be, I think it's going to be one of them bets. It's a great bet. Get to the semi-final and just fall short. But yeah, it's a good run for your money. Of the matches this weekend, Man City, Newcastle, you would expect Man City to cover that. I mean, I think Man City will probably go strong. The one team that I think I want to fade this week is Liverpool. I think Man United might beat Liverpool. I think Liverpool will rest up a lot of players. I think it's going to be full of kids. This is the one trophy that Jurgen Klopp will not want. He'll want to win it, obviously, but it won't be a priority. The Europa League will be a much bigger priority than this. The league, they must be absolutely on.
But they're over the line in the Europa League.
And they've got to play Leverkusen, haven't they? I mean, it's a tough one. There's some good. There's still
no,
some
but
good
I'm saying in this particular round, they've already beat Sparta Prague away.
Yeah, but they want to win. They'll put out kids tonight. That team will be absolutely full of kids, and then the FA Cup will be kids. You want to rest them up. I mean, that the effort they put into the second half against Man City, they were an absolutely brilliant. They were in the second half, Matt Liverpool. They never won that match. I'll never know, but they were brilliant. And that effort, and then the cup win against Chelsea. Some of these players need a bit of a rest to come in and go into the Premier League. Salah needs a little bit of rest as well. So, I think Liverpool will go quite weak against Man United.
You think United plus 85, plus 285?
I back Man United draw no bet.
Yeah.
I back Man United and get the draw, and then we'll obviously go to penalties and extra time. It goes to penalties in extra time, doesn't it?
Extra time penalties, yeah.
So yeah. I think Liverpool would be the fade for me on the odds.
Jack?
I can show you my working out if you want, but I did the same thing. And United would be the one that I'd... I just fancy it for the same reasons. Yeah, there's nothing else to add to that. That's what I was looking at there.
I mean, I look at that Chelsea. Like, could Leicester beat Chelsea? Chelsea are just a basket case.
Chelsea, mate. Leicester will not win them in that. Leicester are involved. They were 10 points clear of the Championship three yeah. weeks ago. Now they're only two. They're in big trouble. They're not even go up. They cannot afford an FA Cup run.
A very weakened Leicester team against a strong Chelsea team, you think?
It's massive for Chelsea. They've got to win something. Pochettino, I think Chelsea win easy in that one. I think Leicester won't. I know it's a quarter final, but the position they were in 2 months ago to where they are now in the Championship, they will not. They're one team that won't want to be in that. Coventry want to be in the playoffs. They're not going to really want to try it. Newcastle will give everything to beat Man City, but
get Newcastle on their handicap, maybe.
That could be interesting. That'd be goals. I think there'd be goals. But I think, you know, I just can't see Chelsea slipping up. I think Chelsea will win easy.
Okay, so four semi-finalists.
Chelsea United.
Go on, four semi-finalists.
Wolves City, Chelsea, Man United.
Both agree on that one. Be interesting. Certainly from a Wolves point of view, from Nigel's bet, and he did put it up on the show very, very early on. Look forward to those FA Cup quarterfinals. Plenty of betting on the Bet Rivers website, of course, and the app Best Bets. Before we wrap up, Nigel, what's your best bet when it comes to the Premier League action this weekend? Curtailed card, but you have got a best play for us.
Yeah, I've only gone for two picks this week. I was going to go for the Luton one draw, no bet, but for obvious reasons at halftime, I had a rethink. Tottenham plus 105 to beat Fulham.
And Jack?
Same game, goals, over 3-goal line.
Nigel, Jack, thanks for your company. Good luck with your picks. That is a wrap for our latest match day when it comes to Betting Weekly Premier League show. We're going to be back with more EPL plays the week after next, because, of course, we've got the international break. So it'll be interesting to see what sort of players come out of that in what sort of state. We'll have plenty of content, of course, on our YouTube channel, and keep following us on X at Because We Win. From all of us for now, though, it is goodbye.